This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
What about a defendant in a case like this? Here we have Richard Allen, 130 years in prison now. Unless something magical happens, I mean, that's got to be incredibly difficult. If in fact he is innocent, to constantly have what appears to be just a barrage of lies flying at you, that people are sitting there stacking evidence in certain ways or omitting evidence in certain ways. There's a lot of that in this case to benefit their narrative. And obviously he was sitting there in solitary confinement for 14 months, basically being tortured. And then he comes out a totally different person, you know, admitting to the crime in ways that really don't make any sense, but the prosecution hangs their hat on that. That's got to be something that could really screw with your mind, if not break your mind. Could it not?
Yeah. And I think he came in with a history of depression. He's a vulnerable person anyway. And I would think, I can only speculate, not knowing him, but I think anybody would be impacted tremendously. And if you're vulnerable, that could be the factor that contributed to his clear psychotic break. And not only confessing to the killing of the girls, but also that he killed his grandchild, which he doesn't have, you know. So as I always say, a psychotic confession is not a real confession, and it's just tragic. And I think he's probably given up all hope at this point and just accepting that this is his awful fate.
Yeah, I mean, it's heartbreaking and it's horrible to try and wrap your mind around some of this. When we look at some of the people in this case specifically that were pointed out very early on, like the Keegan Klein character specifically, that's the one that very much baffles me. And I don't quite grasp how prosecution got into the hole that they did of not exploring him further and exploring Ron Logan further, especially when you have the FBI going, this is a little interesting over here. And then you have evidence that continues to come out. Granted, what we're talking about right now would be the confession letters that were by Rishi Davis that basically state, here's what he told me, here's what Keegan said to me, here's what Ron Logan said to me. And it has so much information on there that no one else would know other than the actual killer. And there's a shocking amount, far more than I was even aware, that are in some of these letters that are in that new affidavit that is coming out. When you have all that new information and you're the prosecutor, and it's right in front of you, how do you still have the blinders on when it's your job to try and find justice in a case like this? Why would you not? Is there any logical motivation to not go down roads that could exonerate someone or just go where reality is if you don't have some sort of, you know, iron in the fire here other than just your ego? That's, I think, the big question with this case is, if you're to give your conjecture, do you feel that this is something where people are battling for their egos and what they've already said and done, or are they battling for something bigger, for something else? Are they covering for something else? And it's just pure speculation. Because there's a difference, I think, sometimes if it's battling for ego or battling for out of fear because the system or something bigger than you over here that's saying, this is the way it has to go. Don't say anything else.
Yeah. It's got really scary possibilities, and it's hard to understand. I mean, we always were raised to think that the justice system, the court system, was about getting to the truth. And we know, after looking at cases over the last few decades, and certainly with DNA evidence where so many people have been exonerated, that the system doesn't really work about getting to the truth. That's what it's supposed to do, but it really doesn't. And so is there something even more nefarious going on here? I think we're going to be speculating about that for a long time, if not forever.
Are we into a place where ego can really rule the day more than it did in the past, where there, yes, we have rules, we have laws, we have things where it's like, okay, the judge should rule on it this way if this is what's going on. But now we have cases here where, you know, facts be damned, rules be damned. And it's not just that people, and I'm not making any specific accusation here, but people in these places of power sometimes now seem to be like, well, yeah, I know that's the trend, or that's what we have been doing through all of eternity of how we handle this, but I'm not going to anymore. And you know what? There's no guardrails. There's nobody here that's going to accost me or penalize me in any way, shape, or form if I don't do the job the way you think I should be doing the job, or the way the job is described to be done. People in places of power, and look, we're seeing it obviously on a much larger scale if we're talking about our country as a whole and just rules being broken left and right. Are we seeing a lot more of that on a smaller level, on local levels, where yeah, we have rules in place, but there's no guardrail. There's nothing to hold power to accountability in so many places anymore. Or maybe there used to be, but we don't have it because people were just kind of doing things the way they were supposed to for a long time, but not anymore.
Mm-hmm. My guess is it's always been a problem and we were just not aware of it. I can think of cases going back many years where I don't think justice was served, you know, because of things that have come to light in the future. But yeah, it's not the way that it's supposed to work. And when we have a system where there's supposed to be checks and balances, but nobody's checking and nobody's balancing, you know, what exactly do we do other than try to keep shining a light on it, just as you're doing?
And I wonder about that, because now we have a world where far more people can shine a very bright light on things, more than just a big media organization that decides we're going to do this story tonight at 10. You have, you know, us, you have tons of people like us that are out there that, you know, okay, we're all going to do this and it's going to be like an invasion of lake flies because there's so many of us just, you know, covering these same things. Maybe that's a good thing at this point in time. As much as people will criticize, oh, it's everything's over dissected. Maybe that's good, because the people in power that used to be held accountable or should be held accountable aren't doing it anymore. So now it's almost like a citizen uprising on some of these cases of you're not doing your job right. So in some ways, maybe there is more accountability, but is it where it matters?
Right, right. I think that it has to be consistent. It has to be loud. It has to go on, you know, indefinitely, and hope that it eventually will do some good. And it's hard to know, but I think you're right. I think we do have more of a voice now. And of course, that also means that crazy people have more of a voice too, but
that's true.
You know, that's all we can do is keep trying to put the truth out there, or put in place the voice of reason and the voice that's always saying, you know what, we can't just swallow a single story, particularly when facts indicate otherwise.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.